time. Great. If you have a Bible with you, I've got the briefest of sermons this morning. You'll be very pleased to know. Ephesians chapter 5, that's page 1176 in the Church Bible. I'll read the whole paragraph, it's only four or five verses. Verse 15, Ephesians chapter 5, page 1176. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my text. Always. What does always mean?
Always.
Not hard, is it? It's not hard to understand what God is saying here. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. What does everything mean?
Everything.
Not hard to understand, is it? I found this a bit of a puzzle, this verse, to be honest. For years I thought, not sure I quite understand this, because not everything looks good when it lands. Not everything feels good when it lands. Sometimes we have the struggles that Jodie was alluding to earlier, or Fiona was talking about at school. Not everything looks good when it lands. We know that. We've had pain in our family, big pain, not just son-in-law who thought he was carrying cancer, but was miraculously healed, and the dog was miraculously healed as well. He's had no medication, he just chopped off his ear where the cancer was and declared him totally cancer-free, which is brilliant. So we're a happy family today. So we've all had things that have landed which have been difficult and testing. It can be hard at school, it can be hard in college, it can be hard at home, it can be hard in family. As Karis reminded us a year ago, a little bit of turmoil in your family. Good to see four of the family here this morning. Brilliant, well done. And the other half a dozen are sort of healthy and all united again. So it's wonderful. So but the Bible's saying that everything, you have to give thanks for everything. And I'm thinking, why is that? What does that mean? How or why can we give thanks for everything? Just think about that for a moment. He says it again in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks for everything. I thought it might have meant, well, just give thanks in all circumstances, but not for all circumstances. And when I dug around, you find out all the scholars I agree on, what it means is give thanks for, not in, but give thanks for everything. Well, some people are going through hard times. We've got a friend dying in hospital today. I've already been asked to do the funeral early next year. She's not going to be covered. She's in the hospice now. How could she give thanks for dying? How can we give thanks for the bad things that come against us, or the people who upset us, or whatever? How can we keep on giving thanks? That's the question I want to answer to them. Over my time, I've had three books given to me. One was thrown at me by a friend. I went to visit her pastorally. I have a cup of tea. Her husband was dying in hospital, and he died eventually. And she went out to make me a cup of tea in the kitchen, and as she walked past this book, I've given it away to somebody else, and I don't know where it is, to be honest, this morning. I can't wave it around. She said to me, she picked the book up off the lounge table and threw it at me and said, "Read this if you can." I said, "Wow, is it good?" She said, I know I've not had time to read it yet. Well, I thought it was really odd. When I looked at the title, it was called Space for God. I saw the irony of that, but she never had time to read it. Mm-hmm. But she had time to buy it, but she's so busy, she hasn't got space for God. That was what I understood she was saying. So could I read it and then perhaps tell her whether it was worth reading? So she made a bit of an assumption that she's busier than me, and she probably is. So that book was such a blessing to me. She was the first person to throw a book at me. Other people have thrown other things, not usually money, but it was thrown in love, and I caught it in love, as you understand. The second book, a guy came round, he phoned me up. Bunny and I are friends of them still. They took us out the Saturday before Christmas and treated us to a lovely meal. And we've been friends with them for decades. But we always worked as a foursome. But this day he phoned me up to say, Baz, are you in? I said, yes. He said, I'm coming round to see you. And I thought, oh, what does this mean? I thought, let's hope it's not trouble. So he came in and he said, I've got a book for you. I bought this, he said. I've read it. It's blessed me so much. I thought, Baz must have a copy of this book. And he just flung the book across the room. I caught the book in love once again. Richard Rohr, Falling Upward. Anybody read this book? It's not a book for young people, but young people can read it and enjoy it and get really blessed by it. It's aimed at people who are probably heading towards 50, the second half of life. Perhaps it's 40 for you. This book has blessed me more than any other book outside the Bible. I've read it about three or four times already. It stays by my bedside, as Bunny knows, and I'm going to read it again in the new year. It says some amazing things that are so helpful. One of the things it says is, wear the face you were given before you were born. What does that mean? Wear the face you were given before you were born. And his point is, and this is a Mexican Franciscan priest who wrote this book, his point is that as we go through life, we kind of have to keep face with others. There's a lot of competition out there in this world, isn't there? And we have to kind of put on a brave face sometimes, or hide the sad face at other times. You have to kind of pretend things are better than they are because you can't begin to slip down the social pecking order and that kind of thing. And the advice here, one of the bits of advice he gave was, wear the face you were given before you were born. That's amazing. Bit of inspiration, really. The other thing that I love to bits, and you've heard me quote, I'm sure, is this other quote. There's so many quotes. This book is nearly every page is marked because of the wisdom in the book. But the other one I love is this. Sometimes God creeps up on you disguised as your life. Isn't that a clever thing to say? Wish I'd thought of that. Sometimes God creeps up on you disguised as your life. We know when he's blessing us, and we can all speak of his blessings, whether that's kind of provision or just timing. He's done some uncanny things with us in the family, like in terms of timing. And we were supposed to be going to have a bit of lunch and a cup of coffee in one restaurant on Saturday. And we decided not to do that. We didn't like their menu, so we went downstairs, found another coffee shop and another restaurant. And in there was our grandson and his partner and our great-granddaughter. I think, oh, wow, what a blessing to bump into you. But it was hard.
Wasn't you pinched my sandwich?
Yes, it was a sacrifice, but I did lose a sandwich to hungry son, grandson. So, you know, the timing of things, God is in everything. But when the painful things come, it's harder, isn't it? It's harder. God sometimes creeps up on us. And he knows we're not going to like this next bit of the journey. But he is disguised as our life, even when our life is not going so well. But there's a reason why he creeps up on us disguised as our life. I found out years ago that if God needed my attention, he messed up the budget. So, you know, too many bills, not enough money in the bank. What's happened here? Why has this happened? I don't know what's going on here. I used to be a banker. I'm good at figures and looking after money and stuff, you know. And I was a treasurer of a church once and sort of, you know, getting loads of money. You know the joke about the man who was at the circus? The strong old man got an orange juice and he just squeezed it, blood dry, threw it on the ground. He said, if anybody can pick that up and get one more drop of juice, I'll give you £1,000. And this was his act. And nobody could get any more juice out of the orange. He was so powerful. Then this weedy looking guy with spectacles walked out in his 70s. And on this particular evening, he stepped forward and and everybody started laughing. He's like 6½ stone. And he hobbled out and he picked up the orange and he said, "Have you got a glass, please?" Well, they just fell about laughing, you know. And he squeezed it and half the glass was full of orange juice. Shock and amazement. The strong man was £1,000 poorer that day. I said, "How did you do that?" He said, "I was treasurer of a Baptist church for 25 years. I'm used to squeezing blood out of a stone." So I've done all that as well, you see. So when my money goes, really, whoa, what's going on here? God's trying to get my attention. And that's what he does sometimes, isn't it? He has to let some difficult things come away just to get his attention. Anyway, the third and final one. And this is more relevant. This lady in Henley. As you know, we were homeless for 6 months, 4 years ago, and one of the weeks we spent in Henley. And this nice lady came up to us and said, "I've been so blessed by this book. I bought your money a copy for yourselves." And it's a devotional book by a lady called Sarah Young, Jesus Calling. And you read one page a day. And Bunny and I have been so blessed by this book that we read it every night before we finally turn the light out and go to sleep. And we read it together and then pray. So this has been such a blessing to me as well. Talking about thankfulness. It says thankfulness takes the sting out of adversity. That's why you're instructed to give thanks for everything. There's an element of mystery in this transaction. You give me thanks. This is Jesus talking. She puts it in the first person singular. You give me thanks regardless of your feelings, and I give you joy regardless of your circumstances. This is a spiritual act of obedience, at times blind obedience. To people who don't know me intimately, it can seem irrational, even impossible, to thank me for heart-rending hardships. Nonetheless, those who obey me in this way are invariably blessed, even though their difficulties might remain. Thankfulness opens your heart to my presence and your mind to my thoughts. You may still be in the same place with the same circumstances, but it is as if a light has been switched on, enabling you to see from my perspective. It's the light of my presence that removes the sting from adversity. And just one more page on thankfulness. This is the middle of November. Let thankfulness rule in your heart. As you thank me for blessings in your life, a marvelous thing happens. It's as if scales fall off your eyes, enabling you to see more and more my glorious riches. With your eyes thus opened, you can help yourself to whatever you need from my treasure house. Each time you receive one of my golden gifts, let thankfulness sing out praises to my name. Hallelujahs are the language of heaven, and they can become the language of your heart. A life of praise and thankfulness becomes a life filled with miracles. Isn't that brilliant? And the reason we can thank him for everything, and they're not just in every situation, is because of the truth of Romans chapter 8, which I'm sure many of you know. Towards the end of that chapter, verse 28. We know, he's making an assumption there. He's making the assumption that we do know. Not just the theory of it, or the theology of it, but the reality. We know that in all things, what does all things mean? Anything excluded? Can't be, otherwise it would be all things, could it? All things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And he goes on to talk about his foreknowledge of us, etc., etc. This is a great promise to grab hold of at the end of 2018 and the beginning of 2019. We know in all things, in everything, God works for the good of those who love him. Even when he doesn't feel good at the time, even when he doesn't look good at the time, he's calling us to be a thankful church. Highs, lows, good times, bad times. Fearful times, times when ill health is in the family. We've had that. Bunny's had that this year. 6 months of a fungus trying to kill her. The only way she could kill the fungus and save her life was to starve it of sugar, dairy, and gluten. And that's what she's done and continues to do. She goes back on sugar, the fungus comes alive again and starts to destroy it from the inside out. So, you know, but thanking him, boy, we've learned so much about that nutrition. You know, we just didn't have a clue, but we've learned so much and have been able to steer a few other people in that direction. One young lady, who's 23 or 25, she's 25, isn't she? Becky, she's 25 years old, she's been very, very poorly with a fungus that has gone crazy inside her. So much so that last week she had a chair lift installed in their home. So when she got out of bed, she could actually get down to the lower floor because she couldn't walk downstairs anymore. Now she's just gone to see the nutritionist, and so much blessing has come because somebody pointed us towards this nutritionist who's been the source of healing in God's hands for Bunny, and it will be the source of healing for Becky, and it's been the source of healing for our friend Andrew, who was told 6 months to live if you don't have the surgery and the chemo. He said, I don't care, I'm not going to have it. He'll be dead in 6 months. It's 2.5 years ago. Not only is he alive and well, somehow got in touch with the nutritionist, we're able to tell him we can deal with his cancer in a different way. You don't have to use chemo. He's cancer free. And he went back to his oncologist about 6 months ago. Yes, it was about October, I think. Because he was seeing the nutritionist again at the same time we were seeing her. And she said, I've got Andrew coming to see me because he's worried about himself again. But he's got the all clear again. And he went back to his oncologist and said, will you do blood tests, please? because you wanted to take my voice box out, you wanted to do surgery on me and give me chemo. The cancer was in the mouth, fifth time cancer. But I've been told I'm free of cancer. Could you do blood tests to see what is there? And they did the blood test and they said, no trace of cancer in your body. I went, wow. So he's giving, he can now give thanks. I mean, giving thanks in faith is such a challenge, isn't it? But it kind of, I've found in my own heart, it kind of is a wake-up call, really, as to how much I'm trusting him. Can I really trust him and thank him for everything? The answer is, yes, I can. And as I do that, somehow he honours those who honour him, and we're honouring his word, and he honours us, and he begins to do the things he needs to do and wants to do. And for my friend who's dying in the hospice, and she could be dying this weekend, she could be dying in this next few days, she knows she's going to heaven. So for her, the most exciting journey of her life is about to begin. Her friends, her family will be very sad. But her life is going to leave a legacy. So we can give thanks for everything. She can give thanks for everything. Let that be your text for the rest of this year. That means tomorrow. And beyond, in everything, give thanks to him and see what he does. Sarah Young's experience, and to a lesser extent ours, has been as you begin to do this in honour of him, you just see more miracles taking place in your life and in the people around you, which is fantastic.